all areas on FUBAR Radio.
Hello, good evening. Welcome to Access All Areas. I'm Stephen Lang.
And I'm Bobby Norris.
How are you doing?
I'm good, thank you, babe. How are you?
You're looking very bright and cheerful today.
I am. I'm feeling good today. Good day. Good week.
Good. Yeah, you were out earlier this week, weren't you?
So I had a lovely evening a couple of nights ago. It was the annual Beauty Awards, So that was really nice. And and then was working a little bit earlier on doing something lovely in London. And I'm really feeling festive.
All of a sudden,
I want to put my tree up this weekend.
I've put mine up.
Have you?
Mine's up. I put it up on Monday evening. Yep.
And do you feel good for it?
Yep. Although I did notice when I was leaving the house this morning that it's a bit wonky. So I'm going to have to fix that when I get.
Yeah.
It's a fake tree. So, you know, I've got to just, you know, twiddle it a bit and I'm sure it'll be all fine.
But I think I'm one of them, but I think it's part of my OCD tendencies. I'll sit on the sofa and then as time goes on, I'll start seeing certain baubles. But I think the day you put up a tree isn't just that you can't just, I mean, I wish I could, but I can't. When I put it up, I have to work it for days.
I feel like I remember you saying this before, yeah.
And it used to bug the life out of me. Like, if just one bauble wasn't level with, I spent half the night, like, just, yeah, rearranging the tree. And then by the time it gets perfect each January, and it's coming down.
Well, exactly. I'm a 27th of December down. Done.
No,
yeah.
Are you?
Yeah, done.
Oh, no, Stephen.
I can't. But then I look forward to January.
Luck.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, don't tell me that.
Yeah.
Would explain 12, why I've had such a shit
after,
year.
Don't they say 12th night? You meant to take it down 12 days.
No, but is
after,
it only bad luck if you keep it up past? We'll Google it. But we have a very exciting show coming up today. We have Sig and Nadia on about 6:20, and then from Surviving Paradise, runner-up Lely Santiago will be down the line. First of all, of course, though, running through all of the showbiz gossip, our favourite Ellen Coughlin.
Hello.
How are you doing?
Hi.
Hello, sweetheart. How are you, blub?
Good. How are you guys?
You're looking really extremely good. Festive.
Thank you. It's
with
the
your
red lip.
Yeah.
Rocking a red lip.
You just throw a red lip on and honestly, you're good to go. You can wear sweatpants and a red lip and people will be like, whoa.
We're here for it.
Yeah.
Bringing the festivities to the studio, darling.
And once it's not all over my teeth later on, we'll see.
We'll tell you the second it is.
Thank you.
What's going down?
Well, oh, what a week for showbiz. Obviously, the first and biggest story of the day is Omid Scobie's book, Endgame, that has come out. And yeah, all hell is broken loose, basically. So basically, the Dutch translation has appeared to identify two of the royal family members who were speaking of Archie's skin colour. And publishers have pulled the books. So I'm not even sure how that happens.
Yeah, you do think that there's obviously some lawyer somewhere has messed up a little bit.
Yeah, but it's weird because, like, Omid Scobie was on Sky News this morning, and he basically was like, he was pretty blasé about it.
Like, nothing to do with me.
Yeah, he was like, oh, well, the publishers, you know, I'm sure they know what they're doing. Like, he did not seem worried in the slightest, which I suppose he wouldn't be if he didn't put the names in the book. And that's what he's claiming. He said, I know who they are, but I didn't name them.
And then the whole thing that's come out, the statement, it's a translation issue. Like, I mean,
I'm
not bilingual. I mean, I could say bonjour. Je m'appelle Bobby. It kind of, I mean, you're impressed, don't
that's
you?
That's impressive.
I've lasted about 3.5
minutes. You get a job at the French embassy for that. Amazing.
So my other languages are pretty limited, but I could understand certain saying or phrases.
Yeah.
Getting lost in translation. Mm-hmm. But a name, yeah. I find weird that can be mistranslated.
Yeah.
That is very strange. Like, you don't do that. And actually, they've compared the pages, the English version and the Dutch version, and there's a few lines that are very different, actually, because in the English one, he says, because of UK laws, I can't name these people, libel laws, etc. But in the Dutch one, that line doesn't even exist in that book. So he's...
Something's gone very wrong.
Because what's your thoughts on this as journalists? Because a few people have been, obviously, the World in His 2 Hours talking about it today. Mm-hmm. And there's some people saying it could be a very tactical PR... Because everyone's talking about this book now, front cover, news and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And also that there was like, it's quite convenient. I mean, this is all alleged, obviously.
Yeah.
But of all the countries for it to accidentally be released in a country where the libel laws wouldn't be as strong as if that had happened in England, and that line's not in it,
Yeah.
Like, oh, it would like, have been. That's yeah. It'd be it a different been. Kettle of fish. I mean, oh, this whole totally. Segment's scaring me because it's the whole day I'm thinking, right. But it's one of the things. Don't think about it. Don't think about it. Say it. And then you think, oh, it's on. Yeah.
It's just a minefield, actually. I've been nervous about this segment myself.
Because now they're saying there's. I think obviously there's the one name that comes straight after the allegation.
Yeah. There's a second name.
There's now
too.
A second name as well. Yeah. And how's that? Because that's not as just upfront and blatant, is it? They say that's a little bit more alluded to the second person, although they're named.
Yes, exactly. The second name is alluded to somebody and they haven't outrightly named them, but you could guess who it was from whatever was written in that book.
Jigsaw publication, I believe it's called. Yes. Or Jigsaw Identification.
Identification, yeah, exactly. Sorry. That's it. That whole thing is a minefield, obviously. I think you might be right there. I was thinking the same thing as well. Like, it's been released all over the world. It's only the Dutch version that has the names. Like, the Italian version, the French version, that's the English version. It's just translated. Mm. Yeah. So something went awry with the Dutch version. I don't know what happened. Like, watch this space, because surely something more is going to come out during the week.
I definitely feel like, you know, there was a couple of weeks ago, there was a few stories about, you know, Harry had had a lovely phone call with Charles and they were considering like booking in another phone call in a couple of weeks. I think that's all gone down the shitter now, hasn't it?
Yeah.
It's really...
Ancient Mick, I don't think, are turning up to say to carve the turkey.
No, I don't think so.
And it's a shame, because I actually would love to see them all back together. I'd love to see them at Christmas time.
Not going to happen.
Yet. Maybe in the future, but just think of those grandkids. Like, I'd love for them to grow up knowing the royal family.
Have we had a statement from the publishing company? So obviously Omid spoke out and said he doesn't know where that's come from. It's whatever, it's a translation, and that he's sure that the publishing are basically on top of it. Well, they put a statement out?
They have, but it was only like a one or two line statement that basically said it was a translation error.
So that's where that statement's come from.
Did you say from Buckingham Palace? From the palace?
From the publisher.
Oh, sorry. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, Buckingham Palace have not released any statement, but they never do they? Never complain, never explain. Yes. That's their motto. Yeah.
And they've been sticking to that this week, I'm sure.
They really have. Do you know what, though? It's worked for them.
Someone that's actually had to email the Buckingham Palace press office before, they respond with nothing to say or whatever.
Yeah.
But they're very like...
They like the media.
They will respond to anyone, I think, regardless of what publication you work for or anything. It's just a very professional, slick operation, right? Yeah. They don't sort of favourite, like, particular newspapers or whatever. They will respond.
Yeah. And they like working alongside the media. Like, we have, like, all the numbers for, you know, the Buckingham Palace press offices.
Yeah, yeah,
and if
we have
questions about brooches and nice stories about the royal family, they work with us really well with those. So, you know, I think...
But this sort of thing, it really is sort of a completely different
They
kind
keep
of fish,
their mouth shut. And it's worked for them so far because, you know, it made them look better in this whole Harry and Meghan
saga. It's definitely worked out for
hasn't
them.
It? Yeah. Dignified
He's
silence.
On Mr. Omid is on This Morning tomorrow.
Tomorrow, yes.
So I wonder if he'll be talking about it.
Oh, he will. I'd say that's why he's on. Like, if he doesn't, everyone will be fuming.
I mean, whoever's presenting it tomorrow, how could you be the presenter and not? I mean, I wish I was on that sofa tomorrow.
Same. Please, this morning, get us on. We'll ask the questions.
But I bet he's got to probably spend his 8 or 9 minutes thinking... Don't say it.
Do you know what? He is really measured. Like, have you seen him in interviews?
Very controlled.
Oh,
very.
So controlled, so measured. Like, I don't know, he's so slick. I feel like everyone watching it is going to be like, oh, okay, yeah, not that big of a deal. He's going to swing it in his favour. I know he is.
Yeah.
He's really, really good to watch in interviews. Like, he's brilliant. He's well-versed in the media.
Do you think this story will keep growing, or is this how far can it go?
God, I think it's going to keep going. And also the book, as far as I know, has only been released to journalists. So as soon as the public get their hands on it, I'm sure there's going to be even more things come out. And, you know, people are going to read into every single line and all
of that.
And the
thing is now with the old social media, it doesn't matter for wherever you are in the world. So like, I know they've now pulled all the books off the shelves in the Netherlands.
Yeah.
But which might have worked for you 15 years ago.
Yeah, it doesn't work
because
anymore.
Obviously, if you can't talk about it in the press, it maybe never would have gone any further.
Yeah.
But it doesn't matter if them books are on the shelf or not now. Do you know what I mean? Because certain social media channels, you could find out in about 2.5 seconds.
That's it. Like, the names are out there now. Mm. And that's why this is a minefield now for journalists talking about it, because nobody wants to do slip of the tongue, because we're all screwed if that happens.
We don't want them lawyers coming for us.
We don't want them. But now the public know. Like, that's it. So maybe that was why the book was called Endgame. Maybe he was ending it.
Yeah. And Harry and Meghan, they've not given a comment, have they, about it all?
They say they're not involved, right?
Yeah. So basically, there's a rumour going around that he's just their mouthpiece. That's what people are calling him. He co-wrote their book, Finding Freedom. Mm. And but he denies that he's a friend with them. He says that he has mutual friends with Harry and Meghan, and that's his sources. Mm. But whenever he does interviews defending Meghan and Harry, like, journalists tend to say that it sounds like it's coming directly from Harry and Meghan's mouth. Mm. Sounds like something they would say. Mm. And he seems to have, like, facts and figures and stuff that nobody else would know besides them.
Yeah, wasn't there something about, like, the food they'd had on their first date or something that was in Finding Freedom? And there's, like, no way that anyone would know that.
Nobody would know that.
But wasn't there something that it came out in a court case? I don't know whether it was Meghan and Harry that had said they hadn't spoke to him, or he said they hadn't, and then kind of it was left. But then I'm sure in a court they've had to kind of say, well, we did for the original book.
Right. Yes, it was. Yeah. It was. There was something along, I don't want to get it wrong, but so we'll move on for this quickly. But it was something along the lines of, like, it turns out that they had been briefed by people on Meghan's team,
but
not Meghan directly.
No. Mm-hmm.
So,
and that's all obviously alleged.
Yeah.
Don't come for us.
So let's move on.
Let's move on.
A slightly easier story. I'm a Celeb seems to be falling apart the seams right now, doesn't it?
Oh my God, falling apart to the seams. Breaking news. Do we have any sound effects?
Sadly not, no.
So Jamie Lynn Spears has left the jungle on medical grounds.
So the second person to leave
on medical grounds. We're 10 days in. Mm. That's mad. Now, I'd say it doesn't help that it's been raining every day since they've went into the jungle.
Oh, has it?
It's rained every day. Oof. And apparently they have to keep moving to different sides of the camp because it's getting too muddy and wet and sludgy. So they move things around. Oh. They're sleeping in damp and wet sleeping bags.
Yeesh.
They only have like one change of clothes. So everything gets wet. And then everything else is wet.
And that on top of being hungry. Hungry and wet, a horrible combination of things.
Totally.
I had a friend who did Shipwrecked many years ago. Remember the
Oh, yeah.
Show? And things got so... They were there for 6 months, And he said that some people got so miserable being like sandy and wet constantly that they had to be put on like medication.
No way.
That was how bad it was.
Like depression medication.
I don't know exactly what, but like, I mean, that was how bad.
Like, that's the official name.
Yeah. the depression medication. But like, I mean, they've only been in there 10 days. It's obviously not the same thing. But like, I mean, like, Jesus. Like,
That's crazy. Yeah, it's crazy. The thing that's annoying me, though, is that they keep on just saying medical grounds. I feel like we need more of like an explanation because what's her name? Nella. She has been taken off a trial. She was voted yet again for her sixth trial, I think, in a row. And she looked crushed, basically, when she was nominated again for another trial. And now she's been taken off on medical grounds. But again, they haven't said what the medical grounds are. And she was missing from the live segment on last night's show. So we'll see her again on tonight's show.
She hasn't left, like Jamie and Grace Dent.
Yeah, she hasn't left. But we don't know why she was removed from doing that trial. So yeah, we'll see. But I think it's such a shame with Jamie Lynn, because I was actually just starting to like her. I remember last week I was saying, oh, she doesn't stop crying, I'm going to like just hope she leaves. But she was really growing on me this week. She seemed really nice. And I was like, okay, she might be favourite to win now. Like, maybe she's going to be top three. She was getting along with everybody in the camp. And yeah, she was just coming across really well. She kept on talking about Britney. Remember we were
this
saying,
this is what we wanted.
We wanted this. And I didn't think she would do it at all.
No.
And she literally nearly every day she spoke about Britney. And I'm like, well,
and I'm glad we got that tea before she packed her rucksack and left, to be honest.
Yeah.
Because I would have been a lot more gutted if she hadn't, and then she left.
Yeah, true.
But obviously, I hope she's all right, the girl. Do you know what I mean? I'm not saying like, we hope she's all right, but we are glad that we got a little bit of Britney.
Yeah, exactly.
She earned her check.
She earned her check, she did. At least she stayed longer than 72 hours, which
I was predicting.
So she
gets paid.
She gets paid. But it's such a shame that she's gone so soon. I also want them to tell us what the medical grounds are. I wonder if it's connected, but
I mean, obviously the two girls that have left and then obviously Nelly being pulled out of the live segment and stuff. I wonder if the, because it's all kind of come at a similar time. I wonder if it's a connected thing that the medical condition is.
Maybe.
Or the medical grounds.
Maybe it's something in the camp. Maybe it's
a trench foot.
Oh God, gross. Have you seen pictures of that? Don't Google that.
Don't.
Nella, did you see her doing the trial yesterday?
No.
She was awful. Absolutely awful. She won no stars. She wasn't trying at all. Twitter went crazy because they were like, what are you doing, Nella? Like, did you just
what
go for
what was the
nap?
Actual trial?
She had to go into this motel and basically lie down in this kind of bed, they called it, but it was a cage. And then like all these spiders and snakes were thrown in there with her. And basically, who's the jockey? What's his name again?
Frankie Dettori.
He was in another one in a dark room with numbers on the wall, and he had to scroll his finger over the numbers and then call out the numbers to her, and then she had to undo padlocks. But she wasn't doing it quick enough. She was spending ages at one padlock. They had 10 minutes to do this, and she wasn't even trying any, like, all the padlocks. Say there was six, or say there was like 12 padlocks. There was six on the top, six on the bottom row. She would try the first one, then the bottom one, then the middle one, then the top one.
Oh, so there was no method.
There was no method. Anton Deck kept on shouting at her like, what's your method? What's your method? And she was just like, oh, just try whatever's closest. And then she just kept skipping them and then asking him to give her new numbers. And then she'd go back and try different ones. They had 10 minutes to do the trial.
Does she know how padlocks work?
I don't know if she knew how they work.
I mean, I've not seen the trial, but instantly I'm already thinking, just because I like a bit of organisation, you would do it in a method.
Yeah, you know exactly
which one you've tried. You can't just start pulling padlocks and not knowing which one you've gone
exactly.
to.
Exactly.
And also, if you threw snakes on top of me, I would fucking get padlocks off very quick. It only takes one anaconda near me. You watch them padlocks get solved.
The thing is, she was so concentrating on the task but doing nothing, basically. She didn't even notice that there was snakes wrapped around her. There was one like opening his mouth in her face.
God.
And she was just unbothered by the snakes but just also unbothered by the padlocks. It was the most bizarre trial I've ever seen. It was like she was trying to fail. But maybe she's over it now.
But the problem is, when you perform like that in a trial, it's not going to go well for you, because people are going to get back on the app, and the chances are you're going to do one the next day as well.
Yeah, well, I reckon it was a tactic, because she was so good at all the other trials that maybe she thought, maybe the public are voting me because I'm good at the trials and I'm bringing home the stars. Maybe if I'm bored and unbothered in this trial, maybe it was a tactic from her.
Yeah, she thinks, fuck it, if I'm not giving it anything.
Because she'd tried three padlocks and then she'd ask him for another number, and it's hard for him to get the numbers in the pitch black.
Yeah.
So Anton Deck were like, no, just try all the padlocks. That's your best way.
How do you then go back and not know what three you've picked?
Yeah.
And because unless I'm guessing they're all off, it's irrelevant anyway. So
every number would have opened one of the padlocks. That's what Anton Deck kept on saying. It will open one of them. You just got to try them
all. We've not just made it up.
It's got to work. Yeah, she would try
two
and ask for a different number. It was the most frustrating piece of TV I've seen in a while.
Yeah, it's stressing me out hearing it.
Do we know who's favourite to win at the moment?
I think it's actually probably Josie and Fred, right? I think Fred's gone down very well.
Also, Fred's body. Who knew?
I know. He's looking great. Fred's a salt. Mm. Oh my God. He was wearing a little apron yesterday with no shirt on. And I was like, okay. Fred. Never thought of you like that before, but hello.
Oh no, he's in good nick.
Yes. He is. Yeah. And the little naughty chef, he looks great.
He could make me rice and beans, just saying.
We're running out of time, but let's go to one more story.
Okay, one more story. Let's go with Molly Mae and Tommy Fury. Now, I actually feel like this one could just be all rumours. It probably is, because to me, they're just like the most perfect couple ever.
Yeah.
But it's been all over the papers the past few days, the split rumours. But I think this has come from Tommy was seeing... in Las Vegas, I think, dancing with Chris Brown, of all people. It was really random. And then loads of girls surrounded them, but he wasn't with girls like the papers are saying. The girls were just existing in his presence.
Right, yeah. And, unfortunately, sometimes people exist.
Girls exist. It's awful, I know. Yeah. And they were in a club with him and featured in a video where he's dancing with Chris Brown. And... Molly Mae was at home with the baby, and then now these rumours have started that, you know, they're breaking up. But I think it's because people aren't used to seeing them not together, number one, because they're always glued to each other. But also, number two, him being out, he never goes out. Like, he doesn't like... No, he doesn't like drinking much. And if he does, like, he goes out with his, like, friends. He doesn't do the whole celebrity...
Yeah, you don't really see him pepped falling out of a nightclub or anything, do you?
He doesn't. Both of them have, like, admitted to being, like, homebodies. They prefer to, like, watch Harry Potter in a cosy fire and stay in.
Being a sportsman is probably not a boozer, I'm guessing. Yeah. You train that hard and that's your career.
Yeah.
You ain't doing Jaegers every night, do you know what I mean?
Exactly that, exactly that. But then Tommy Fury's brother, Tyson Fury, his 14-year-old daughter, she went on her TikTok and somebody asked if things are okay between Molly and Tommy. And she basically said, yeah, everything is fine with them. No trouble in paradise kind of a thing. But it's just family issues they're going through at the moment. So that then kind of, you know, sparked more.
Something else
is
happening.
She was trying to squash it, but then
made
she
it
said
worse.
So that was kind of like, oh, I don't know. But Molly Mae hasn't addressed it and Tommy hasn't addressed it. So watch this space. But I'm sure they're fine. The week before, they were at Winter Wonderland together with their little baby girl. Mm-hmm. So I don't think
I'm
there's anything
sure
to that.
Good.
But anyway.
Oh, I forget that it was like with celebs at Winter Wonderland, and it's that time of year.
Yeah, there you go. They're all out. It's on the start of Christmas. Yeah.
Get your £25 hot wine.
Yeah, Jesus Christ. Yeah. You've had to wait 45 minutes in a queue for. Yeah. What a joy. Well, we've got a little bit more time, so let's talk about
Take That. Okay, so basically they've teased that they're going to be doing a Las Vegas residency. They're in talks with some big casino in Sin City. And it comes off the back of a UK tour that they're doing at the moment. And they also have a podcast. Who knew? They have a podcast. Take That podcast, where they just talk about all bits about them and they answer questions from fans and stuff like that. But they were doing a live one the other day and a fan question was, what are you going to do after your UK tour? And they said that they were in talks with Vegas, basically, and they might be doing a residency. So residencies are usually like 3 to 5 years. So, God, what's going to happen there? Are they going to move their whole families over? Like, are they going to fly back and forth?
It's a stretching off, isn't it?
It is,
isn't 5 years.
I wonder,
kids.
It's a bit of a funny one, Take That, because they're not very big in America, right?
I didn't think they were either.
So I don't know what...
it's kind of a strange one, this one. And they also said that because things are going so well for them, that they're hoping to start making a new album.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Already? So, they've only just released one, haven't they?
Well, there you go. Well, doesn't it take like a year or two to actually get a good one? So once you start writing...
Mr. Barlow's busy. He's banging out them tunes.
That sounds like Gary.
Doesn't Adele, hers ends this year, or might have already ended, doesn't it? Her residency.
No, early next year, I think.
Early next year.
Because there's rumours that she's going to, her and...
have another baby.
Yeah, like she might have a little baby.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But she does that, doesn't she? She kind of goes away for a few... When you're worth what Adele's worth, let's have it She ain't got a graft 60 hours a week.
She never needs to work again.
Yeah, no. She can go home and take a couple of years off. I mean, I don't want you to, Adele. I want you here. Yeah. Banging out someone like you over and over again. But if you want a couple of years to go and have another baby, you do it, babes.
Yeah. Bobby says you can. Bobby lets you off at it.
Yeah.
Well, maybe Take That can step into the void issues. That she leaves. Ellen, thank you very much for running us through the showbiz news as ever. We'll play a little trail and then we've got Nadia down the line.
Let's do it.
FUBAR Radio presents All Areas.
We have the absolute icon, legend, Janice Dickinson.
I'm here.
Do you still enjoy doing reality shows, or do you now see it as more of like a part of your job that you like have to do?
I do really enjoy it. I don't enjoy the actuality of eating fish eyeballs.
Well, there's that side to Amazon.
Or vagina of cow.
But you do like the sort of social side, do you? Like just
the social side was fantastic. Just getting to know people and sleeping with people and eating with people when we didn't really have enough food.
Uncensored. This week we have Natalie Balmain, winner of Channel 4's Make Me a Prime Minister. We do have a serious problem with the standard of our public servants and the behaviour they display both in office and in ministerial office, no?
Absolutely, 100. We're an embarrassment.
Yeah.
We're a nation that once purported to be world leaders. But now with the people we have in charge, we can't even lead ourselves.
Well, we are leading the world in terms of idiots and clowns in office, I think.
Please do.
Remember back in the day when it used to be like
fashionable, or it was the thing to do when you'd go on Facebook. Yeah, and you'd be like, hello, I'm like in a relationship. What was the other one? It was it's complicated. Do you remember that one?
Yeah, it's in a relationship with.
Yeah.
Or it's complicated. But then what it used to do, it used to pop up on the feed. So you'd be sitting there.
Yeah.
And then in your feed, it would be, I don't know, Jess, whoever is now single. So you'd like that one. Or poke them. Did you poke them? And then you'd give them a little poke.
Yeah.
Yeah. Give them a little virtual poke.
Yeah.
Just to go, I see you're single now, babe.
Yeah.
Facebook were great, weren't it?
You're listening to Foodbar Radio.
Foodbar Radio.
Foodbar Radio.
Foodbar Radio.
Foodbar Radio.
Well, thank you very much to Ellen, as ever.
Absolutely.
And
celebrity, we love it.
Down the line, I believe we have Nadia. Nadia, are you there? Oh. You're muted, I think.
Oh, Lord.
There you are.
Hello, sweetheart.
Hi.
How are you doing?
Nice
you
are, to meet you guys.
Yeah, you too.
You too, my love.
You are looking stunning. I was actually, just before I got to the studio, I was reading your little Vogue interview that you had.
Yes.
That's exciting times, isn't it?
Yeah, it's crazy. I can't believe it.
It must be like, it must be so weird, like when, like, yeah, suddenly, like, somewhere like Vogue wants to know more about you, right? Like, I'm jealous. Yeah. I want it to happen to me.
No, it's honestly, it's a dream come true, to be honest with you. It's been a bit of a journey. So to actually be recognized and appreciated by the team there, mm-hmm. it means a lot. And obviously Raphael, who I shot my EP with, he's like really important. And like, he's worked with like Beyonce and like, oh God, you name it. Some of the biggest names right now. And the fact that he even wants to work with me is amazing. So I'm happy that I was able to talk to Vogue about that. And
amazing.
Just like, yeah, it's the next phase is beginning. You know?
Is the pressure on when people like say someone's worked with such huge names? Do you take, does that give you a bit of anxiety?
Do you know what? It used to a lot of the time, because it's like a lot of the, when I was coming up in this industry, I didn't have the same confidence that I have now. So whenever I hear these big names and like I'm meeting some of these people as well and like working with some of them, it's like sometimes it feels really surreal. But I think for the amount of time that I put in and what I'm doing, it makes sense that it's kind of now, but it does feel weird. Every now and again, I'm like, what? Is that me? Kind of thing. It's weird.
Because you've worked with Beyonce.
So I was in her music video for Brown Skin Girl back in 2020, which was amazing.
And what was she like?
So yeah, I have...
Any tea?
She's lovely. She's amazing. Like, to be honest with you, she was like in and out of set and was not really as involved in that section as you would have thought. So she was more like giving feedback. And during the edit, she was really like, oh my God, she's beautiful. Like, she kept like... noticing me, which was amazing. Oh, so
that's what you want.
Yeah.
I was like, little old me. Oh my God. So yeah, she's really sweet. And what I love about Beyonce, she's really supportive of like young black female artists and
this,
creatives.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
She's like really champions it. So she's always watching. Like, people might not think that, but she does actually really appreciate a lot of artists. She just, you know, in from behind the scenes.
Yeah, she's not like as public about it, right? So you mentioned, you sort of mentioned that, like, you know, it's been a bit of a journey getting to where you are now. Take us right back. Like, how did your journey in music kind of start?
Okay, so I started, sorry about that.
It's all right.
I started as Moco. So that was my first name. Mm-hmm. So I came in the game. I was like a little baby. I finished university and went straight into the music industry. And that was my first alias. So I came out as an artist, and then Chasing Status saw my videos on YouTube, mm-hmm. and were like, we need you on our next single. And everything just kind of went crazy, because the song went straight to number 5 in the official UK charts. It was like number 5 in like Australia. Like,
amazing.
It literally just blew up, and mm-hmm. my career just kind of like happened really quick. And I was really grateful, and everything was really amazing. But I think because I was really young and everything's happened so quick, I didn't really know who I was. And I found myself kind of, I eventually had to leave my label.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing negative. It was just that they didn't understand where I was trying to go with what trying to do. So
it's Taylor's oldest time, right? I think a lot of people find that. They get on the label, they have the success, and then, you know, time to try something new.
basically, and I feel like I'm really like, whenever I think about Ray's story, I feel like me and her are quite well synced because she was at Polydor at the
time.
Yeah,
and I was
at Virgin EMI, and we both were kind of having like similar issues. And I think we're living in this kind of a generation now where women are becoming real bad bees. We're starting to realize our worth. Mm-hmm. Whereas before, when you came in the industry, you didn't have any idea of your worth. You felt like if you weren't signed, no one was going to hear you, or you'd be shelved if you didn't get a number one straight away from like what it was just really, really, really tough. Mm-hmm. So obviously I left that and I was like, okay, I'm just going to focus on just being a normal person now. I'm just going to do music. And I got a message from someone on Instagram called Joshua Davidson, who shout out to him, mm-hmm. who messaged me and was like, look, there's a show, Simon Cowell's doing a show called Walk the Line. And they're looking for artists. And at this point, my confidence was really low. So I was just like, yeah, okay, I'll try. But I'm not putting any, you know, I'm not putting anything on this.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I did the audition. And like, it just, everything was history from there. Like, I literally went into the competition not thinking I was going to even get past the first round and then won.
Yeah.
So it was incredible. My jammer was, she was amazing for the whole
She's incredible, isn't she?
Yeah.
She's amazing. And
such
she's
a lovely girl.
She's a lovely girl and she's real. Like, she comes from like a similar background to myself. So I feel like she really related to me and was like, you know, she was Leo energy. I was Scorpio energy. We just got on.
Oh, I'm Scorpio energy
I'm
myself.
A Leo. Yeah. There's a lot of love on the Zoom.
Yeah. Literally, Scorpio energy always. So she was always fab. And Craig David, Dawn French, Gary Barlow, all of them, they were so lovely. Like, they kept being like, you know, you're a pop star, just go for it. And I think having the British public be like really supportive, mm-hmm. and actually be the ones that voted me to win, it made me realize that I need to believe in my source. I need to just stop with this like delusion and just go for it. So here we are now. I'm doing things independent. I'm an independent girly.
Uh-huh.
I'm trying my best. And yeah, I'm just really happy to be speaking to you guys today. Thank you for having me.
Do you think there's less pressure now you're independent, that you haven't got an answer to anyone? I guess everything's like a double-edged sword, isn't it? I guess everything has pros and cons. But it must be quite refreshing to think, actually, I'm going to do exactly what I want to do and not be told.
That part. Literally that part. That's it. Like, literally, I think I'm actually really happy to be actually in control of it, you know, like, because I think sometimes it gets really nerve-wracking when you feel like you've got a boss or somebody watching your numbers, doing stuff, whereas now it's like, I don't need to do all that. Like, I know that I have celebrities who support me, I have artists who support me, I have people who just know my struggle and know how it's been. And having all of those things, I think, make you more bulletproof as an artist than just being like reliant on having the labels tell you you're going to make it this week or you're not because you haven't done X, Y, and Z. So yeah, I would definitely recommend independence to a lot of artists, but it's hard. It is harder, you know, in other ways.
But I guess anything like going through trials and tribulations, especially when it comes to songwriting and being a performer, actually, when we go through struggles and stuff like that, it kind of makes you a better performer and artist, doesn't it? Because it's the classic thing of when someone's terribly heartbroken. We were talking about Adele earlier at the top of the show. Some of her best tunes are coming from having a broken heart.
Yes.
So actually having something to look back and pour, I mean, Adele, love her. But I guess it actually makes you a better artist than you would have been if everything was all unicorns and rainbows.
Exactly. Literally, you've nailed it. I feel like it needed to happen. Like, and I don't like to be bitter about it because you literally nailed it. Anyone, like, Adele, for example, had she not gone through that heartbreak, we wouldn't have the music that we have now today. It's like, it's actually part of being an artist. You kind of need to go through it, or are you really an artist?
Yeah, I mean, it's a shame though, because when you're going through that heartbreak, it's pretty shit, isn't it? Yeah. I mean,
it's so shit.
But out of shit comes roses. Do you know what I mean?
Good shout, Bobby. That is very true.
Love that, Bobby. It's true. No, for real. It's real mad out here. But
you've
we're
got
working.
And yeah, you're working. You've got a new single, right?
Yes, I've got a new single called Draw the Line.
Tell us about it.
So Draw the Line came to me at a time where I literally was like, on the like edge of my seat thinking, do you know what? I don't know if I can do this music thing. Then I met my friend Quez, who's amazing. Like, he's produced for like Kanye West, Kalela, Sampha, all of these incredible people. And my partner, Leaps, who I've been working with in my other projects. And they were just like, girl, let's make this into a tune. And I was like, okay, let's do it. We did it. And I was like, I think this is the one. I think I need people to hear this so they can also feel that strength and feel like there's a moment where you just have to draw the line. Literally, the song is very simple. It's just about drawing the line, realizing that this is the only way to go. You can't rely on people's, the way people treat you and how they might consider you. You can't let people's idea of how big you are or how small you are affect where you need to go. So I was like, child, let's go. So that is draw the line, like, in a nutshell.
Love nice. That. Are you still in touch with any of the judges from Walk the Line?
Yes, I am. Dawn French. Oh my god.
Is she amazing in real life? I don't think I've ever met Dawn.
Dawn is literally like the like auntie, grandma, everything I just wish I had in like in my life from the beginning of time. She's so supportive. And she gets it. Do you know what I mean? Like, she will post my stuff on Instagram and be like, guys, you need to get into this.
Oh, love that.
Thank me later. You know? She, like, forces, she's like PR in itself. She's always, like, supporting me no matter what.
And the thing is, someone, I guess, doesn't have her career and be around for that many years without knowing the coup. Do you know what I mean? So she knows PR and media. She knows what time it is.
She knows what time it is, and she's been like my rock. Like, I really like love her so much. Craig has been so supportive as well. He's in the wings, you know. He'll, you know, DM me here and there, being like, "Keep going, girl." You know,
Love a little DM coming in from Craig. That's goals.
No complaints.
DM me, Craig.
So random, you know. Like, literally, when I think about my life, I'm like, "How did I get here?"
Because I'm guessing back in the day, did you love Craig Davies? To, like, if you could have told younger you that Craig Davies going to slide in your DMs, you would have fell off the chair.
I would have definitely fallen off the chair, literally, and like maybe lost some Beanie Babies in the time.
Yeah.
Literally, I was obsessed with David growing up. So whenever I hear from him, I'm just like, mind blown. And he really cares, like, because he obviously had my mum on the show as well. And like, I talked about my family and how I'm supporting them with my music and stuff, so he really cares about that. And he's like, you know, hoping that, he's always like, how's mum? And I'm like, yeah, keeping her, holding her together. Yeah, like, everyone's just support. Like, since coming off the show, I've felt that support from, like, even Simon as well. Like, even though he's not been as present because he's been so busy with the other shows, he's always like, if you need anything, just let me know, you know. Like,
that's nice.
It's been a really great experience. Like, most people who leave reality, like music shows as well, have always got like kind of negative stories. I literally can't relate. Like, it was one of the best things I think I've ever done. I didn't expect it to be. I was prepared to go in and be like, right, here we go, but honestly, everybody was like pure from the beginning to the end, and I'm so happy to have their support even till today.
That's how so did you good. Find the whole concept of, I guess, reality show, isn't it? But I guess music, so maybe that changes a little bit. But how was that whole concept? Did you go into it, like you say, she was kind of prepared that this could...
Yeah, I was.
...be a tricky situation. But obviously, it's gone from strength to strength. And I think as well, like you say, everyone, and obviously you worked up close with them judges, what a lineup of judges and talent. And how lovely when you hear every single one of them's got a good heart and is lovely.
So blessed. So blessed, honestly. Because I must say, like, going into it, it was tough because we were great, but some of the public were not so great. Like, I dealt with a lot of backlash coming off of it.
Really?
Quite a bit of, like, racism as well, which is weird, on Twitter. And a lot of people kept saying...
It's a cesspit. Oh, completely. Twitter's a cesspit. What a place Twitter is.
You know, Twitter is really that... But yeah, they were like saying I was a plant. They kept saying that it was all fake when everything was like, everything was real. And that was really tough because obviously the producers of that show were from Love Island as well. So they prepared us as well for social media. They're like, you know, anything can happen. People are going to say silly things. But I didn't expect the level at which they did come at me. And I had to talk to the son to basically clear my name, because everyone was just like, she's fake, she's been in the industry. Little did they know I was struggling in the industry, and this show came at an amazing time to show what I could do. So yeah, it was hard, and not a lot of people understood it as well. And there was quite a lot of like, people just wanted, I think because of things like X Factor and all that kind of stuff, some people, we're still a bit cynical about talent shows. We're is it real? You know, I get that. But I feel like with this one, it was actually a really special one. And I will never, even though there may have been some negative things here and there, I'm still grateful to this day to have met some of the artists. Some of them are doing really well, like IMDT. He's doing amazingly. He's number 5 at the moment in the official UK music charts.
Amazing.
Like, everyone's cool. Like, everyone just took the opportunity and we got on with it, you know?
Mm. And it's working for you. Yeah. That's the most important
thing. And what's
thing.
Meant for you in life won't pass you by. Do you know what I mean? So actually, everyone's on their journey. And when timing's everything in life, when timing's right, magic happens.
Literally that. Timing is everything. And like, even this conversation we're having today is amazing. Like, I'm so grateful, like, to even be talking to you guys. It's just exciting, you know, to finally just be like, here I am.
It's all coming together. Totally. Well, thank you so much for speaking to us this evening, Nadia.
Darling.
Really appreciate it. And best of luck.
Hit the mic. Sending love and kisses. Bye, darling.
Love you guys.
Love your hair as well, by the way.
Yeah, gorgeous.
Thank you, baby. You
know, stunning.
You know, she had to bring it.
She had to work hard. Spend them that coins. You've earned them.
Thank you so much, Nadia.
Bye, darling.
Bye.
No worries. See you later, guys.
What a gorgeous, gorgeous
girl. Stunning.
Right, let's play a little trail and then we'll get Lely's on.
FUBAR Radio presents Access All Areas.
We have the absolute icon, legend, Janice Dickinson.
I'm here.
Do you still enjoy doing reality shows, or do you now see it as more of like a part of your job that you like have to do?
I do really enjoy it. I don't enjoy the actuality of eating fish eyeballs.
Well, yeah, there's that side to
Amazon. Or vagina of cow. Yeah.
But you do like the sort of social side, do you? Like just
the social side was fantastic. Just getting to know people and sleeping with people and eating with people when we didn't really have enough food.
Politics Uncensored.
This week we have Natalie Balmain, winner of Channel 4's Make Me a Prime Minister. We do have a serious problem with the standard of our public servants and the behaviour they display both in office and in ministerial office, no?
Absolutely. 100%. We're an embarrassment.
Yeah,
you know, we're a nation that once purported to be world leaders. But now with the people we have in charge, we can't even lead ourselves.
Well, we are leading the world in terms of idiots and clowns.
The Dating Show.
Please do you remember back in the day when it used to be like fashionable, or it was the thing to do when you'd go on Facebook? Yeah. And you'd be like, hello, I'm like in a relationship. What was the other one? It was It's Complicated. Remember that one?
Yeah, it's in a relationship with, or it's complicated. But then what it used to do, it used to pop up on the feed. So you'd be sitting there.
Yeah.
And then in the feed, it would be, I don't know, Jess, whoever is now single. So you'd like that one. Or poke them. Did you poke them? And then you'd give them a little poke.
Them. Yeah.
Yeah. Give a little virtual poke.
Yeah.
Just to go, I see you're single now, babe.
Yeah.
Facebook were great, wasn't it?
You're listening to FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio. I think that pretty much sums it
up. FUBAR Radio.
Right, we have our second and final guest of the evening, Lely's from Surviving Paradise. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Good, thank you, honey.
Very
How
good.
Are you, my love?
Say that one more time. I'm sorry.
Looking lovely, babes. Yeah. Everything just goes absolutely stunning. How is everything for you at the minute? Is it still crazy town after everything in the show?
No, I feel like everything has like calmed down. I feel like the trolls kind of like scattered. You know what I mean? The people that actually love me are excited to see new things. But, you know, as far as me, though, busy, busy, busy.
That's what we like.
I've been more busy than I ever have.
She touched upon trolls, and it's like really close to my heart, trolls, not being one, obviously, but calling her out. Like, for here in the UK, for about 5-6 years, I've campaigned to try and change social media and our laws, because troll, it's, and I guess it's the same over the pond and around the globe. But it's just not filtered. It's horrendous, the things people can get away with saying. What kind of stuff did you come up against on social media? Because it can be a dark place, social media, can't it?
Yeah. I mean, to be honest, it is half of social media. But I will say, to be real, like, I've dealt with trolls before the show, because I have reached like 100K beforehand, and a lot of my videos like go viral and things. And I always also say like a lot of controversial things sometimes. But I will say, like, you know, how to deal with them, to be honest, is like, you got to understand that the internet isn't real. You know, like, everybody's putting on a facade. Everybody is trying to make something look better than what it is. Mm-hmm. So to be real, like, I laugh at a lot of it. Or sometimes, like, if somebody's like, oh, you fake, you this and that, I'm just like, well, have a blessed day. Or sometimes I just don't write back, because if you don't give it light, it won't live. So that's kind of how I look at it.
I like that. If you don't give it light, it won't live. Yeah.
And sometimes, like you say, kill with, over the years, I've learned that sometimes kill with kindness or ignore, because back, I used to work, because I think, how can you get away with saying it? Like, the most horrendous things you see, like homophobic, right? Like, just disgusting. There's no place in the world for it. But on social media, you can seem to kind of get away with it for some reason. Hopefully that changes. But yeah, it used to really wind me up. But like, I think this ain't justified. But you're so right. To kind of kill with kindness and just don't give it energy. Because I do, and I almost feel sorry for them now, because I think anyone that trolls and spits out vile, you've kind of got to be unhappy. No happy person is sat on Twitter abusing people.
Yeah. You know, it's so funny, because also, if you guys could, I can't hear you that well.
Oh.
So I don't know if something.
Oh, let's have a little look at our little bulbs.
I'm not sure if it's all looking pretty normal to me.
Okay.
Sorry about that.
But, I mean, if I'm being honest, you know, like, before, it was something that was, like, I just feel like they don't have anything to, like, really say. So they go after the first thing that they see, right? So if we're talking about the show, it's like, everybody is just moving off of emotion. So it's like, oh, well, I don't like this about her, or I'm going to say this about her. And to be honest, it's all people's perception of you. So, like, if somebody is going, oh, I don't like you because, I don't know, like, you were mean, or I felt like you was this, that's an opinion.
Yeah.
I don't feel that way. You know, the people around me pretty much love how I am and love who I am. So, you know, I feel like to deal with social media, you really got to know, like, your team and know, like, the people that's behind you, as far as, like, friends and family. And honestly, the only opinion that matters is yours. Like, is yourself, like, to yourself. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, other people's opinion does not matter. As long as the people around you know you and know who you are, that's all that matters. Yeah. I always just say, like, don't pay attention to trolls, because they are going to say anything that comes to mind, because they are honestly not living the life that they want to live, especially if they're hiding behind, you know, a fake image or, you know, a burner page. It's like, you got some insecurities within yourself. So I'm not going to let that poison me.
Amen. Don't give them the steam off your piss. That's what I say.
Right.
You were talking a little bit about Surviving Paradise and sort of how it all went for you. It kind of went quite well in the end, didn't it? Because you came away with quite a lot of money.
Grand.
Yeah.
Yes.
What have you done with that money since the show? Have you sort of have you been enjoying it? Have you put it away? Have you saved it? What's the
A little of both. I've been enjoying it because I was able to help my father. I've given him money, and then I've also held some things to the side so that I could be able to, like, pay for his surgery. Mm-hmm. But also, like, take care of bills, take care of my family, take care of myself, invest the money, because that's important. You know what I mean? Like, I want my money to make money. Mm-hmm. And it's crazy because, like, you know, my father is everything to me. So, you know, when I first got the money, it was, my father's like, no, like, why are you giving, like, I remember I was going to make a video, and then I was like, no, this is too personal for me. And I gave him the money, and he was like, what's this for? And I'm like, well, this is for you. Like, you know what I mean? Like, this is for you so that you don't have to, you know, my father was he was a single parent since I, you know, was growing up. And for him to see that, his first reaction was, no, like, I thank you for this, but I want you to invest this. Like, I want you to make more from this. This is not, like, this is small. You know what I'm saying? Like, you got more to this. And because of that, obviously, I was able to pay his bills because I'm not listening to him. You know, men, they like, I don't want you to take care of me. I got it. I still did it. But the fact that I'm able to invest now and actually like invest into myself and bring more opportunities and more blessings to myself, honestly, it's a blessing in disguise. You know, I was just happy that I was able to be on the show and make the friends that I did, and then be able to leave with something and be like, I went on there for a reason and I actually got exactly what I needed, you know, so.
And have you invested in any bags and shoes, babe?
Say that one more time.
Any bags and shoes? Have you invested in anything like that? Have you had a little splurge?
I actually got my first Louis Vuitton bag.
Yes, girl. Yes. I love a Louis. What one?
So I don't know the name of them because I'm not a girl that, like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't always buy, you know, designer bags, but I got my first Louis Vuitton bag. It's like an everyday bag. It's all black. It's matte, black on
nice.
Black. And then it came with a tiny purse that was inside. And I was like, I'm my first bag. Like, yeah. By myself. It's crazy because, so my boyfriend, he always wanted to, he has money and he wants to spend it on me. He's like, I want to buy you this. I want to buy
marry
you
that.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. But I told him, I said, babe, listen, I want to buy my own bag. My very first one, I want to buy my own. And then you can buy me everything else.
Yes.
Absolutely. And there's something really special about that moment, I think, to go in, and when you buy your first things, it's lovely getting gifts off paper. I mean, I don't have a boyfriend that lavished me with bags, unfortunately. So if your fella's got a gay brother or cousin that lives over here in the UK, hook me up. But there's something quite nice to walk into a shop and buy something. Do you know what I mean?
For yourself.
For yourself.
Yes. It felt, I'm not going to lie, it felt so good because it was like, it was like a kid walking in a candy store. It was like, wow, all of this, and I can get whatever I want. Like,
yeah.
You know, but walking out is crazy. You might laugh at me, but like when I got to my car, the first thing I did was I prayed and I was like, thank you, God. And I cried because I was like, oh my God, I bought my first bag. I felt accomplished. Like as a woman, it's like when you buy your first bag and you're the person that buys your first designer, it's like a, congratulations, like you did what you had to do. Here goes a little present for yourself.
Yeah. And no, gratitude's important. I love that you went to the car and prayed. I think gratitude is everything.
Yes, exactly. You know, like, and that was the biggest thing for me too. Like, but the first thing I did was I thanked God because I was like, without him, I would never even experience this in the first place.
Well, and also Linda, right? I mean, let's have it right.
Yeah. Of course, I mean, to be honest, like we both worked with each other. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like we both did what we needed to do in the show.
What's your relationship like now?
With me and Linda?
Yeah.
Yeah, so me and her are actually still friends. Like, the crazy thing is, like, when the show ended, we started to build our relationship, and we've gotten so much closer. Like, this girl's practically my sister. But, like, we've gone through ups and downs. We've gone through, I went through, a loss in my family, and she was able to be there for me. I was there for her in her dark times. Talking her out of things. So we've really been like hand in hand. Linda is still Lalinda.
I wanted to ask you, babe, for anyone that's not caught up with the show yet, obviously, so Linda chose to share the money. So you got 100 grand and she took 100 grand. If you would have been in Linda's situation, do you think, would you have shared the money? And I mean, no shade. If you were taking the full 200 bags, be honest and go for it.
Let's be real, right? Because I feel like I showed in the show that I'm real, like through and through, right? So if I would have won the money, I would have split it. Because the thing is, what they didn't put in the show is, I had a conversation with Linda on camera, sitting on our beds, and we was talking. I said, you know that I would split the money with you, right? And she was like, no, don't do that. And I was like, no, I'm telling you. I said, because like you are somebody that I would call my friend outside of this. And I was like, to the end, regardless of what happens in this show, me and you are going to make it to the end. And that's my goal. And I was like, if I have to share this money, the only person that I would do it with is you. And of course they didn't show that, you know, it's all about the edit. Mm-hmm. But I was actually the first person who brought it up to her in the first place. I was like, I'm splitting my money with you. So when people ask me and they're like, would you do it? They don't believe me because of obviously, you know, how things are edited.
Yeah.
They don't believe it, but the proof is in the pudding. You can ask the source.
But wise move, because actually that conversation might have cemented you the 100 grand.
It's true.
If you hadn't have bought that up, because she might not know where your red space was. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So actually, that was 100 grand's worth of conversation right there, babes.
I mean, to be honest, like before we thought it was just going to be 100,000, you know, like before we even heard that it was 200. And this was before we heard that. So I just felt like even if I can leave with 50, yeah. I feel good with that because I can still do something with that.
Yeah,
you know
absolutely.
What I mean? So, and I, even so, like, you know, going into it, like we just met each other, you know, you got to understand that. But then what people don't understand is because they look at shows to be like, well, why are they so close? Why are they crying for each other? Like what? It's because you are put in this bubble where you're just around these people and like you're constantly being tested with relationships and friendships where it's like I have to make hard decisions on somebody that I just met and like we just got cool and now I got to make a decision that might hurt somebody's feelings. Mm. But at the same time, it's like in those times, that's how you know who your friend is. Because in real life, right, when situations happen, that's when you know that's your real friend.
Yes.
But when we're on the show, it's constantly happening, which means that we are constantly being put to the test to be like, is your friendship real?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So,
and that's all heightened as well, the fact that you're, because when you do a TV show and you're in that bubble with each other, you're each other's friends, family, support system, because that's all you've got. Do you know what I mean? And you're on that journey together, and only you will know what that is to be in that bubble at that time. So actually, when people go, oh, you've only known someone a few weeks or a few months, actually, in the real world, it's the equivalent of knowing someone a couple of years because that's all you've got.
Yeah, because you're wiped away from everyone. You're wiped away from who you trust, you know what I mean? And it's like, dang, I got to put my trust in somebody I just met. You know, it's hard, but when you are tested, like in the challenges, then it's like, oh, okay, all right, wait, okay, I could be, all right, cool. Like, you just got to go based off of that to be like, who's my people? Who is my team? You know, so it's hard, but then like from the outside, people don't understand, but when you're in it, you understand it.
Has it sort of made you like get a sort of bug for doing reality TV? Do you think you could see yourself doing another show or?
I actually do. I think I could see myself doing another show or hosting another show. Hello.
Oh, okay.
I love it, to be honest with you, because I could just show off my personality more. I would be down to do any show. I would even be down to host a show or a dating show or a love show or whatever, because I have so much personality and I just want everybody to see it. So I'm definitely down to do another one.
Interesting.
Love that. What's this space?
Which one could you imagine doing the most if you were sort of to pick one?
If I had to pick one, hosting. Hosting a show, a reality TV show. It could be a love show because I could be messy. I could be, you know, I can be that girl that they need me to be where it's like, I'm going to stir the pot. I'm going to get people to arguing. I'm going to pull it out. But that's like my goal. Definitely hosting.
And the thing is as well is actually from someone that's come from reality TV, that's something as a presenter that someone that's not come from that background would never know. So actually, it puts you in a strong situation. I don't know if it's the same abroad, but in the UK, sometimes they look down on reality people. Like when you go on to become a presenter, or we've got a few over here that go into music and stuff, some people kind of look going, oh, know your lane, stay in your box. But actually, it's everyone evolves. But to come from reality TV and then present and host reality TV... That's the apprenticeship that a presenter that's not done that and come from that background will never know.
Mm.
Yeah. So they normally do like stamp you, right? They put you in a box.
Mm-hmm.
And I just feel like that's just not what it is today. Like they do that here where it's like, if you're on a reality TV, you're known for reality TV. I don't want to be known for reality TV, but if I like doing it, I'll do it. And I'll do a movie. Because acting is something that I want to do, but it's like, I've seen it done. Like I don't know if you guys remember, but back in the day, it was like Bad Girls Club.
Yes.
They had a girl named Blue on there and she's on what is it? Issa Rae's show. So it's like, you can get out of it. You can act and go on past it. Never hold yourself in a box. If you got the talent, push it out.
Absolutely.
I love that.
Why can't people be more than one thing? Do you know what I mean?
Well, some of us are tired, Bob, and we can't really be bothered to do anything else. You know, that's fine. Lely, thank you so much for joining us this evening.
Absolutely.
And Surviving Paradise is on Netflix. If anyone hasn't watched it, catch up. Good little Christmas viewing, actually, if you've got some
a little bean
time
just
off over
worth
the Christmas
watching.
Period. Thank you so much, and we'll see you soon.
Bye, darling.
Absolutely.
Thanks for joining us.
Bye.
lovely. What two lovely guests we've had this evening.
She had incredible eyelashes.
You always notice these things,
Bob. Oh, I know. It's the smallest things.
You really
do. Is that weird?
I think it's just your nature, isn't it? Again, you're one of those
people. I'm always looking at nails, hair, lashes.
Oh, God, you must be so horrified by me when you see me coming to the studio like a sweaty mess every Wednesday.
No.
Got anything exciting coming up this week?
This week, tree, I'm putting my tree up.
Yes, of course. So, and that's going to take you all week to get it exactly right.
You know me, yeah, probably. And maybe another two after that. But yeah, lovely. How about yourself?
I'm going Strictly this weekend.
Oh, exciting.
Yeah, Cher's performing.
So, shut up, is she?
Yeah.
What's she going to sing?
Her Christmas song.
Oh.
So I'll tell you all about it next week when
absolutely.
We're in.
Absolutely. I'm sure she's going to look 24. And I absolutely love her.
Can't wait.
So, yeah, send her my love.
Until next week, everyone, goodbye.
Bye.